It's 8:10. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Joining me now in the studio with a recap from yesterday's County Council meeting, I have Councilmember Glenn Wright. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So, rather routine meeting, but let's talk a little bit about with flood season around the corner. Anything the county doing to prepare for that?
Yeah, we're getting ready for it. We've got about 40,000 sandbags, and we're stockpiling sand at the public works facility. And we're ready. I'd like to get the population ready. We don't know what the flood season is going to be like. We've got a lot of snow out there. If we get a mild, dry spring, we'll be okay. If we get a hot spring with some heavy rains, we will get flooding this year. So if you live near the Weber River or the Provo River, if you're in a 100-year flood zone, if you have a mortgage, start preparing and look ahead for the weather forecast. If you see in the two-week weather forecast that it's going to be warm and wet, get your house ready.
Yeah, so where are those sandbags going to be located? And people just come pick them up?
Yep, that's it.
Or is the county delivering them anywhere?
As we get closer and closer to an imminent flood, we will deliver them to locations. Yes, cities can request them. One of the biggest flooding areas in Oakley. And certainly we'll work very closely with the town of Oakley during flood season.
Okay. And certainly in the news this morning is that the maker of OxyContin, Purdue Pharma, the company's controlling family agreed to pay a groundbreaking $270 million to Oklahoma to settle allegations that helped create our deadly opioid crisis. This litigation, I understand, it affects the lawsuit that was filed by Summit County. Are we going to be part of that settlement?
No, we are not part of that settlement. We have a separate suit here in Utah that will be heard in Third District Court. And, I'm not a lawyer. You'll have to ask Margaret Olson the details on this. I would expect that a precedent like that would help us. But we are not directly affected by it.
Yeah. So when you think about, just one state paying out almost $300 million, does that bankrupt the company, or
we'll see.
So when does our trial?
I don't know. You'll have to check with the county attorney's office on it.
Okay. Let's see. You spent a lot of time at the Capital City during the legislative session. How would you assess this year's session?
Certainly for a couple of bills that we were tracking that benefit Summit County and some that would have disadvantaged Summit County, we were pretty successful. We got our involuntary assessment district created, authorized for sewers in areas where we have failing septic systems. We got the 100% renewable energy bill passed, and there'll be a long process on that that'll take probably another year and a half until it comes completely through the cycle. Plastic bag ban did not pass. There was a towing bill that would have disadvantaged us that was neutered to the point that it shouldn't affect us. So on those counts, we did pretty well.
Yeah. The ban for plastic bags, you expect that'll come back?
Hard to say. I mean, there are people out there who like to do things even when they've lost a couple of times. They're either against in that type of environmental issue, or in some cases, they have a financial interest. There are a lot of financial interests in the legislature. Yeah, if you look behind the scenes on who's really pushing the bill.
Yeah. What about the tax reform bill that we saw sent back to special session?
The county was active in UAC and in MAG in talking against that bill. It would have really drastically affected local taxes. And just from an operations and fiscal standpoint for cities and counties, it could have been a disaster. There would have been some winners and some losers, and we really didn't know who was going to be who. I strongly suspect that Summit County and Park City would have been a big loser on it, but there was really no data. I think the bill wasn't particularly well thought out. It's going to come back, so we're going to have to be vigilant, and we're going to have to work on it again this summer sometime.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to actually put some numbers to it? Because I think you were the one that was talking about how when you lower the tax on ski lift tickets and lodging, is that spa services going
to I think there's a lot of study that has to go into that. And you know, for one thing, I would not, if I could write the bill myself, I would not include local taxes for the first year or two. If you want to do it on a state level, do it on a state level. Then you'll see where the tax income is coming from. And cities and counties can then decide, you know, maybe give cities and counties a local option. Yes, I want to be part of the bill, or no, I don't. I want to leave it the way it is for local taxes. I think there's a much bigger question on which businesses will be affected. The small guy who's partially billing and partially working on a cash basis is going to go completely to cash. Not only will we not get the sales tax income, but we'll probably lose some of their income tax income to the state. That doesn't make any sense. I think you really have to look at every industry that's involved and analyze their ability to equitably collect the tax and how it's going to affect the overall economy. The story we always got on this was that, well, taxes on goods are decreasing. Let's maybe look at it a different way. If taxes on goods are decreasing, that means if you look at it as a per capita tax statewide, take your total tax revenue and divide it by the number of people in the state of Utah. If that's decreasing, you can also increase that tax rate to make it equal. And depending on how you argue it, you're not raising people's taxes. Do you want to go to a service tax? Yeah, I'm open to that, but it has to be one that makes sense.
Whatever happened to the redistricting commission initiative that was approved by voters?
Nothing was done this year, but stay tuned for next year. There is a suit that affects one of the initiatives, and if it goes to the state Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says the legislature has overstepped their constitutional authority, that would probably protect that initiative. But again, we'll have to see what happens in the courts.
All right. Let's see. During yesterday's meeting, the county council met with ESAP. This is the Eastern Agricultural Preservation Committee, which is financed by donations from Promontory. Councilmember Roger Armstrong wondered if you could find some other revenue sources for open lands.
Yeah, I think it's probably something we will investigate during the next budget year. Certainly on the west side of the county, Basin Rec does bonds for that type of activity. Could we do that in east side? I don't know. Are there fees that we could do on certain types of permits and development, say, for MPDs for larger developments on the east side? Perhaps we can do something like that. That's all something we'll have to discuss. Get some public input. Is this what the population on the east side wants to do? Are you willing to pay for it? That's what it always comes down to.
Yeah. So how is it that Promontory is paying on all land sales? A portion goes into this.
It's about a $3,000 charge on each new land sale in Promontory.
Once it's been sold, though, it doesn't have to pay again.
One time. So I don't know how many vacant lots are there yet that are unsold, but that's the amount of money that times 3,000 is what we have potentially left to collect over who knows how many years.
Okay, and then it's tapped out.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Let's see. Why did you and the rest of the council endorse the Land and Water Conservation Fund?
Because we think it's something that's really important from a public lands standpoint. What that fund does is it purchases, if private landowners want to sell their land to the federal government for conservation purposes, it provides funds for that. And the money comes from royalties on mineral extraction. And it has expired and needs to be renewed.
Okay. Anything else from yesterday's meeting that you wanted to mention?
It was a pretty, I guess the last thing was the discussion on monuments, which was very interesting to all of us. Preserving survey monuments is really an important thing because those survey monuments are what tells us where all our property lines are. And over the years, it sounds like about half of them have disappeared. Now, we know where they are on the map, but when a surveyor goes out to survey, they have to have something to start their survey from. So there may be some things. We were given some options from the Weber County surveyor on some things we might do in the future. Again, Rhonda Francis in the recorder's office will be studying that, and we may see some proposals in the next budget year.
Okay. Anything else? Is that it?
I think that's about it.
Glenn, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie.
KPCW News Time now, 8:22. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. KPCW News Time now, 8:24. Good morning. Well, as we reported, the Park City Council last week agreed to lease up to 5,000 acre-feet of water back to the Weber Basin Water Conservancy District, that to help make up a shortfall for Summit Water Company. This is part of the agreement that was outlined in the Western Summit County Water Agreement. In the studio to talk a little bit more about that agreement, I have the director of the Mountain Regional Water District, Scott Morrison, along with Chief Financial Officer Lisa Hoffman. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah, so Scott, you had emailed me saying that you wanted to follow up with regard to some of the water discussions that you had been hearing here on KPCW. I'm not sure that we've identified Mountain Regional in any of that reporting, but what is it that you wanted to respond to in particular?
Yeah, we just wanted to come in and follow up on the great conversations that you had last week with Park City's Water Department. Specifically in the context of the Western Summit County Project Master Agreement, what we were hoping to do this morning is just take a step back and provide a 30,000-foot view of that agreement's purpose, how we believe it benefits the community, and how Mountain Regional has been actively participating in that agreement now for a number of years. So
four entities, Park City, Mountain Regional, Weber Basin, and Summit Water?
That's absolutely correct. This agreement was signed in 2013, and it had two primary functions. The first function was to provide a structure from which a future water importation project could be built when that project was determined to be necessary. The second function was to provide for this ability to share the existing water resources that we have in the Park City area amongst all the parties. And by share, what I mean is that those systems with surpluses could provide water to those systems with demands in an effort to defer this new future water importation project for as long as possible. Now, Park City was in last week talking about their approval to provide surplus water to Weber Basin and on to Summit Water in the future. We're certainly happy to hear that. We're happy that they're joining Mountain Regional in that effort. Mountain Regional has been providing surplus water since 2015 through the structure of this agreement to Weber Basin and on to Summit Water to support their growing demands. Mountain Regional does this for a couple of reasons. First off, again, is to we really want to defer this project for as long as possible. We don't want to build infrastructure and saddle the community with additional water costs until necessary. The second reason that we do it is because much of Mountain Regional's water is purchased through contract, and we pay for that water whether we use it or not. And the ability to monetize water that we wouldn't otherwise use protects our ratepayers from future rate increases and ultimately leads to improved rate stability.
Yeah, so the word is that the reason we had to raise taxes a few years ago was because there's no growth. So if there's no growth, then why are we having any kind of water shortages?
I don't know if there's no growth. I think from a Mountain Regional standpoint, I think there's a fair bit of growth. From Summit Water's standpoint, I think they're experiencing a significant amount of growth in the Canyons Village area. With respect to why are we facing shortages, I think it's important for the community to understand that community-wide we are not facing shortages. Summit Water what has requested that Mountain Regional provide surplus water through this agreement to support their water demands. Again, that started a few years ago. But from a community-wide perspective, you know, we're not facing water shortages.
So how much are you putting back into the surplus?
So currently, for this year, we are surplusing 800 acre feet, which is roughly 1,000 rooftops or so, based on how Summit Water allocates water.
Yeah, so at what point will you need that water?
That's a good question. We've been actually working on projections this week. We work on projections almost constantly. The numbers I'm looking at are 15 to 20 years out currently. Obviously, there are a number of variables that play into that. Growth is a real unknown. Water usage, the type of building that we're doing. It seems like these days more and more the building is going to higher density, so the water usage per unit is coming down, which means that our existing water resources will stretch further.
That's interesting. So higher density is less water usage, because it seems to me that when people come in from out of town, you know, maybe they're coming from, I don't know, Mississippi or something, sure, where there's lots of water, and they don't think about how dry and precious water is here.
Mm-hmm.
And they just leave the faucet on, or, you know, not have the implement those conservation efforts that I think people living here know about.
Sure, sure. I think really the bulk of water use stems from outdoor use. So when we talk about higher density and the use of less water, what that's getting to is the fact that these units don't have these large yard spaces. So really the usage becomes contained indoor use, the overall usage comes down.
Yeah, and then kind of managed landscaping as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, with people
absolutely
turning the sprinklers on and off with certain times.
Correct, correct.
Interesting. Okay. In terms of looking ahead at that water importation project, we've talked about a couple of things. The East Canyon Pipeline, because Summit Water does have a bunch of water rights that they have, but they just need to find a way to pump them back uphill.
Correct. Yeah, as part of the agreement, there are water right reservations that Park City, Mountain Regional, and Summit Water all hold. One of the projects was a pipeline project from East Canyon Reservoir. There are other projects that have been considered, Round Valley Reservoir. There's been a reservoir considered east of the Promontory development. You know, I think at this point our focus really is on using the existing water resources that we have. Park City has a large project with a new treatment plant that they expect to finish in 2023, the new Spiro treatment plant. That is going to free up a significant amount of water resources. So I think the stakeholders, our focus right now is not on what the next project is, but pushing that off for as long as possible. You know, until the time where we do need to focus on it. But I think it's many decades ahead.
Well, people have asked over the years, I mean, why don't we use water as a way to control growth, or at least manage growth, right? I mean,
yeah,
if you don't bring on new water resources, you can't approve building permits.
That is correct. I think that's a question for our councils.
In terms of the project, though, I mean, Clint McAfee was throwing out numbers like $70 to $100 million plus 30%, because that's what construction does.
Sure, sure.
Are we setting money aside, or is Mountain Regional setting money aside for that eventuality?
I mean, not specifically. What we're doing currently is, beginning in 2020, all the parties will begin to pay some fees that were established as part of the agreement to Weber Basin. Mountain Regional will be paying about $250,000 a year for the next 20 years as a party to that agreement. You know, really the agreement talks about how that future project would be financed. You know, currently we're not specifically setting money aside for that project. You know, again, our focus really is, let's use what we have, what other source development projects could be done here in the basin before we even consider such a, you know, large, expensive project.
Yeah. So when we look at that new charge in 2020, what are we talking about? That goes, basically, it goes on to the water bill, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've known about this charge for a long, long time. So what Mountain Regional has been doing since 2015 is we have been setting aside a portion of the revenue that we have received by supplying the surplus water. We've been setting aside that revenue to protect our customers from those increasing bills for us. So we don't expect to see a rate increase that's specifically tied to that increase, to those increased fees to Weber Basin.
Yeah, and in terms of the water sources that Mountain Regional controls, I mean, are those good? I mean, of course, with a great water year, snow year like we had, things are good. But when we saw, 5 years of drought prior to that, what were they? Were they strained?
In general, I'll say no. Our Silver Creek, the aquifers in Silver Creek, specifically the Keatley Volcanics, are our most productive aquifer. The bulk of our water really comes from both the Weber River and from this aquifer in Silver Creek. That aquifer has been very solid. The East Canyon aquifers tend to suffer a bit more during drought years, but we don't have many eggs in that basket. And I can say that I've looked at the aquifer recovery since last year, and things are recovering really, really well. In fact, much better than I expected.
Okay. And in terms of what you're working on now, some new projects, what do you got going?
Yeah, so in 2019, the one project I wanted to highlight, we have a new tank and pump station over in Silver Creek that will be coming online. We're currently in our startup testing of that facility. It's constructed just adjacent to the Silver Creek Village development, which, as I think you're aware of, Leslie, that's just north of Home Depot. It's about a 1,300-unit development. That project really was specifically built to support the growing demands of that area. And what's interesting about that project is we have an energy recovery turbine that's installed in that facility. It's the first one that Mountain Regional has in its inventory. So we're really excited to learn more about the function and the operation of those and how we might be able to implement those in some of our other facilities. And it's directly in line with Mountain Regional has a real strong focus on sustainability. We're working closely with Summit County in trying to, it's consistent with their 2032 100% renewable energy goals.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? I mean, it just basically pays, it creates the energy that is needed to pump the water to?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a it cannot provide for all the energy of pumping. There's some losses of efficiency through the turbine and back through the pumps. But essentially, whenever that tank fills, we're bringing water from the distribution system at a higher pressure, and we're running that water through the turbine, and that's how the energy is recovered.
Hmm. Let's see. And you said that'll come online this summer then, huh?
Yes, it's currently in its startup phase.
Great. And so Mountain Regional is the provider for the Silver Creek Village area?
That's correct, yep.
All right. What about the community water annexation? What did you want to mention about that?
So we continue to work very, very hard to bring those customers on board. We're excited to bring the community water customers on and offer more reliable water service than what they've experienced over the last few years. There continues to be some hurdles largely related to easements. Both Mountain Regional and TCFC and Vail Resorts are trying to work through those easement agreements. Vail understandably is treading lightly on making sure that it's all related to access to these easements. Vail wants to make sure that there aren't any safety issues with Mountain Regional personnel accessing their property, their leased property. Similarly, Mountain Regional has a job to do. We need to be able to operate and maintain the water system, and that needs to be done in a largely unrestricted way.
So that access is being provided for or no?
Currently, we're just in negotiations on those easements, and we're trying to get to the point where all parties agree.
Okay. Finally, just the Mountain Regional Water District has a poster contest happening. Have you selected winners, or people need to apply, need to...
I'll talk a little bit about that. We are coordinating with the Water Festival, which will be held on April 25th. Recycle Utah holds that. And for fourth graders attending that water festival, we will be doing a poster contest. Invitations were sent out to those participating teachers. The theme will be water conservation, and it all starts with you, so how kids can help conserve water in your home. Those posters will be due on May 3rd, and we'll pick those up from the participating schools, and we'll have a few small prizes, and the overall winner's artwork will be included in our annual water quality report.
Okay. Anything else you guys wanted to mention?
Just the last thing is that, you know, we hope to be back as we get a little closer to summer, Leslie, and just provide some tips to our customers on irrigation.
Okay. Scott, Lisa, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
KPCW News Time now, 8:46. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Park City Police Department once again offering citizens or the opportunity to apply for the Police Citizens Academy. In the studio with details, I have Park City Police Officer Terry Connectle. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie.
So this starts when?
This will start May 1st, 6:30 in the evening at the police department. And it'll run every Wednesday, same place, same location, 6:30 to 9:30.
Okay. And it lasts for how long?
11 weeks.
Okay. And registration is ongoing now?
It is. I'm accepting applications either online, the police department's website, or you can come into the police department, or if you get in touch with me, I'll arrange to get you an application.
Okay. So, and how much to register?
Nothing. It's free of charge.
Okay. So why are you guys doing this?
This here opens up the door. It allows the public to see what the inner workings of the police department and what we do and the resources in the community that we use.
Okay. So how many people do you take?
Up to 15.
Mm-hmm. And do you usually have a full class each time?
It varies. Yeah. It varies. Sometimes I've kind of gone over a little bit, but usually about 15.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about some of the sessions that you're going to be offering during this 11 weeks.
Well, we'll bring in, like I said, the resources that we use from outside the community or within the law enforcement community, but like SWAT. We do not have a SWAT team. We'll have a canine demonstration. Resources that we use is the fire and EMS and the emergency management. We'll let people see what we do, such as investigations, and kind of give people a little bit better understanding on traffic laws and Utah law.
And I think you go to the gun range too, yeah?
Oh, yep. We have a day set aside to take people to the range and they get an opportunity to use the tools that we use in our job.
And what's that? What kind of weapon do you use?
There's a handgun, service weapon, rifles, shotgun. And they'll probably might even get a chance to see how a taser works.
Okay.
Not on me, though.
Yeah. And then do you, or I think it's Summit County that runs the canine operation?
No, I bring in the Forest Service. I've been using him as Darren Scheidel from the Forest Service. I've been using him for the last, 8 years, 9 years. So we'll have a bite suit and get to see what the dog can do and maybe even do a demonstration on sniffing out for narcotics.
Okay. Let's see. Is this for everyone, or, what are the restrictions?
I'd like to keep people in the community, but if you live or work here, 18 years of age or older, and no serious incidents in their background.
Okay, you do a background check. People mm-hmm. have to sign off on that.
Yes.
Do you fingerprint them, too?
No.
You show them how?
No, we may do that, too.
Yeah. Okay. Again, people can just go online.
Yes, or they can contact me through the police department if they have any questions online for applications, or they can come into the police department itself and get an application there.
Okay. And again, the request is that if certainly things come up, but really to commit to all 11 weeks.
I would like them to. I understand it's summertime and family time and stuff like that, and sometimes life gets in the way. I get that. I'm not really hard-nosed on that requirement.
Okay. Anything else people should know?
Nope. Just give me your applications as soon as you can.
Okay, Terry, thank you.
All right.
That's Park City Police Officer Terry Connectle. Again, an opportunity to apply for the Citizens Academy. KPCW News Time now,